Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. White, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. June 10, 1897. This letter is published in entirety in 2OMR 213 to 218. Dear son Willie, I am able to report 60 students in the school, besides the 6 teachers. We shall have to have more room. The school needs all the rooms. If we could now build a chapel, then the students could get along for the present with the room that is now used for Sabbath meetings. As it is, they have to be crowded. We have no funds with which to erect a second building or to build a chapel, but we do not feel discouraged. We are determined to work in faith. The Lord will help His people if they put their trust in Him. I send you copies of the letters which I am sending by the Vancouver boat. I do not know what you will think of them. I am certain that God has funds for us somewhere, and they must come to us here. I am trusting and praying for help and guidance. I am gaining some strength, and I am thankful to our Heavenly Father. I have still some weakness in my head, but I hope it will pass away, and strength take the place of weakness. Your family are all well as usual. The boys are trotting now. Herbert is not as strong and firm on his feet as Henry, but they have high times. They scramble up the chamber stairs exultingly and in a big hurry, fearing someone will take them down. But be assured that someone is behind them all the time. Today the plasterers are here, and they are to begin work tomorrow. Sand, water, and everything is on hand now. We have plenty of water. We will think things quite advanced when the plastering is done. Brother Hare's building is advancing slowly. There are little things that will come up in school matters that are not of just the right order. Fun and frolic will be entered into that to be checked. Brother Hughes is the man for the place. We need so much the presence of God to guide us in all wisdom. I know that the Lord is a present help in every time of trouble. The work must be entered upon in Newcastle and Maitland. I have just been reading the words of the great apostle to the Gentiles. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other man's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to speak the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 to 18. We need to walk more humbly with God. Time is short, and we need to labor most earnestly to extend the truth to regions beyond us, right in the shadow of where our school is located. We shall have to draw from the Pacific Press all the means that is coming to me. Let there be no delay in this matter. I understand that I have $500 which the conference in New South Wales is using, besides the £38 loaned to Brother Semmons. There is not a very flattering prospect in that direction of me getting my money back in a hurry. Brother Semmons wanted additional money, but I told him that I could go no farther in that line, for I am stretching myself beyond my measure. My workers must be paid. But everything in this line is waiting to ascertain how we are coming out. I have been so utterly exhausted that I have not had matters brought to me. Sarah has had to carry my burdens as far as outside thing go, and the work inside also. But I am now able to have matters again brought before me, and can give directions. We have gone ahead to build your house, and if anyone wants to grumble, you will be out of it altogether. Those who are now on the ground will take the blame. But I meant that everything should be done that could be done, in a plain, wholesome way, for your family. The house may look unnecessarily large, but I have looked it over and over, and could not bring my mind to diminish 1 foot in any direction. I have never been required before to do so much thinking and planning in so many lines, especially in reference to this house. I want your house to be a comfortable home, and there is not a thing I would detach from the building. We invest means here, but we must bear in mind that we would have to invest means to hire a house that would not be in all respects comfortable. And the money paid for rent might just as well be paid out for interest to obtain money to get the very things we need to have in the building to make it as we desire for comfort and convenience. As soon as the plastering is dry, we shall move your family into the now almost finished house. The means from Battle Creek and Pacific Press are needed here. I have not been able to learn how I stand. I have drawn all but £30 from the Echo office. First, get your family settled. And then, if you desire, and it seems to be duty, you can visit the churches. There is need of your being here soon. The Lord will guide you. We want all the means that we can obtain now to help in putting up the buildings that are essential for the school and chapel. I shall do all that I can in this enterprise. Unless we begin, we will never finish. We will do what we can. The Lord is here. He knows what we need. He can do everything. I have no conscience-stricken feelings in regard to the money invested in your house. It is not any too large, and it is, I think, plenty good enough. I shall now feel that my duty in this respect is done. I can present this to the Lord and give it over to Him in perfect faith, for I have done my best. It may be that you would have made some changes, but as you are not here, we have done the best we could. I want you to collect all the means that you can to help just now on these grounds, that this may be a rallying point for our little flock, God's own heritage. The poor, struggling souls will have trials in abundance wherever they may be, and as numbers increase in the faith and students come in, we must be in a position to assist them. I believe that in Brother Hughes the Lord has sent the right man. We must all work earnestly and intelligently to do the utmost to make this school as God would have it. No man's notions are to be brought in here. No breezes from Battle Creek are to be wafted in. I see I must watch before and behind and on every side to permit nothing to find entrance that has been presented before me as injuring our schools in America. Believe, hope, pray. Watch with all diligence and be afraid of men. I am in more fear of professed believers who are not consecrated to God than of outside influence. We must hold this important position by prayer and watching and working. We must wrestle with God and pray and work and pray. As the Lord presents before me the selfish indulgence, the spirit of worldliness, that seem to be introduced into families and is pervading the church, I am in an agony of fear. The departure from Christ-like simplicity makes me afraid. There is little appreciation of that which the Lord has done. When the Holy Spirit moves the hearts of believers, when the truth is appreciated, the servants of God will not labor in vain. Christ is an abiding presence in the heart, and we have sense of the great mercy and loving kindness of God. While we review, not the dark chapters in our experience, to complain, but the manifestations of His great mercy and unfailing mercy and love and power revealed in our deliverance, we will praise far more than complain. We will talk of the loving faithfulness of God as the true, tender, compassionate shepherd of His flock, which He has declared none shall pluck out of His hand. The language of the heart will not be selfish murmuring and repining, but praise, like clear flowing streams, will come from God's truly believing ones. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, verse 6. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee? Psalm 73, verse 24-25. Why not awaken the voice of our spiritual songs in the travels of our pilgrimage? Why not come back to our simplicity and life of fervor? The reason is that we have lost our first love. Let us then be zealous and repent, lest the candlestick will be moved out of its place. The thoughts of meditation are cheap thoughts. The visions are confused and earthly. The temple of God is opened in heaven, and the threshold is flushed with the glory that is for every church that will love God and keep His commandments. We need to study, to meditate, and to pray. Then we shall have spiritual eyesight to discern the inner courts of the celestial temple. we shall catch the themes of song and thanksgiving of the heavenly choir round about the throne. When Zion shall arise and shine, her light will be most penetrating, and precious songs of praise and thanksgiving will be heard in the assembly of the saints. Murmurings, complainings, and lamentations over little disappointments and difficulties will be lost sight of. As we apply the golden eye salve, we shall see the glories beyond. Faith will cut through the hellish shadow of Satan, and we shall see our advocate offering up the incense of his own merits in our behalf. When we see this as it is, and as the Lord would have us, we will be filled with a sense of the immensity and diversity of the love of God. The appreciation of God's love and character will quicken insensible hearts, and light will shine into the soul. Our short vision will pass away, and we shall discern wonderful things out of the Word. Just as long as those who profess the truth are serving Satan, his hellish shadow will cut off their views of God and heaven. They will be as those who have lost their first love. They cannot view eternal realities. That which God has prepared for us is represented in Zechariah, chapters 3 and 4 and 4:12-14. Then answered I again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones, that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The Lord is full of resources. He has no lack of facilities. It is because of our lack of faith, our earthliness, our cheap talk, our unbelief, manifested in our conversation, that dark shadows gather about us. Christ is not revealed in word or character as the one altogether lovely, and the chiefest among 10,000. When the soul is content to lift itself up unto vanity, the Spirit of the Lord can do little for it. Our short-sighted vision beholds the shadow, but cannot see the glory beyond. Angels are holding the four winds, represented as an angry horse seeking to break loose and rush over the face of the whole earth, bearing destruction and death in its path. Shall we sleep on the very verge of the eternal world? Shall we be dull and cold and dead? Oh, that we might have in our churches the Spirit and breath of God breathed into His people, that they might stand upon their feet and live. We need to see that the way is narrow and the gate straight. But as we pass through the straight gate, its wideness is without limit. We need now to arise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. We have no time to talk of self, no time to become like the sensitive plant that cannot be touched without shrinking. In Jesus Christ is our sufficiency. Will we talk faith? Will we talk of the glorious hope, of the full and abundant righteousness of Jesus Christ provided for every soul? I tell you in the name of the Lord God of Israel that all injurious, discouraging influences are held in control by unseen angel hands, until every one that works in the fear and love of God is sealed in his forehead. The whole heavenly universe is interested, and the law of God is exercised in behalf of his faithful, commandment-keeping people. It is God in whom we must trust. It is only a narrow-minded government that legislates for the suppression of God's law. God has the world in his hand. We have God on our side. All heaven is waiting and longing for our cooperation. The Lord is supreme. Why should we fear? The Lord is almighty. Why should we tremble? In the past, God has delivered his people, and he will be our helper if we will arise in his strength and go forward. The Bible, and the Bible only, is to be our refuge. God is in his word. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. That is enough for us. By the knowledge of him shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah 53, verse 11. If the great and loving heart of God is satisfied with the result of his mission in the soul saved, let us rejoice. Let us work as we have never done before. Let us put self aside and lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith. Let us reveal him to the world as the one altogether lovely, and the chiefest among 10,000. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and peoples, and tongues, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. Revelation 7, verse 9, 10. Let us take up the praise of God here below. Let us unite with the heavenly company above. Then we shall represent the truth as it is, a power to all who believe. Mother,